Hey, welcome back to Rally Caps. I'm Eric, and I don't know how to do the intro.
I'm Steven.
It's for creatives and entrepreneurs and everybody in between. How was that,
Steven? And I'm Steven.
Okay, great.
Are we starting?
Nailed it, yeah.
Okay,
that was
great.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Steven does it every single week, so yep. I tried to do it before we started recording and didn't know what to say.
You remembered our first intro perfectly.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, you pulled that out of nowhere.
Recesses of my brain. Yeah, the creative entrepreneur looking to build a business for the long haul.
And that's when our show is called Slow Burn. For four episodes.
Before we realized that was a very popular podcast.
A massive podcast.
Anyway, today we are interviewing the man, the myth, the legend himself, Mr. Steven Schultz.
Hello, hello.
Welcome to the show, Steven.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Feels nice to just sit here and hang.
Yeah.
I feel no pressure right now, which is cool.
Yeah. I have the outline now. Yeah, I am the captain.
I like it. It's cool.
Oh, wait. Wasn't I supposed to sit on that side?
Nah, it doesn't matter.
It's too late now.
Yeah. We switch seats in the middle.
If you haven't listened to the past few episodes, we have a brand new configuration of our set. So if you're on YouTube, you're seeing it right now.
You are.
And it some beautiful design. We added a new element today with a nice fill sort of key light.
Yeah.
That's just a big old light blasting into a white wall that, I don't know, maybe makes it look a little bit better. We're still practicing. Are you taking a photo of us right
just
now?
Just a little video just to show the full table element right here. For anyone who has not seen it already, this sweet 8-foot butcher block kind of situation going on here. It's very fun. It's really cool. And that's you guys right over there.
Oh, nice.
It's nice.
Yeah, so today, if you haven't noticed from the title of the show, we're talking about Steven's new found design career.
Mm-hmm.
People might not know you're a designer yet.
They
probably do.
Maybe they do. I'm not sure.
Yeah, they do. We've talked about it.
That's true, I guess. We have made reference to it in episodes. Yeah.
So longtime listeners know that you're doing that.
Yes.
That you're dabbling in it.
Yeah.
That it's part of your toolkit now.
Yeah. And OG listeners will know that I did everything for Rally Caps way back in the beginning.
Yeah.
When we first started the show 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of like the inception of really where I am today with design stuff.
So let's just bring it way back to 1995.
Summer of 95. I'm a summer baby.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit further than that.
Oh, so not 95. Okay, cool. Let's bring it to when this actually started.
Well, I want to hear first the backstory of all the media. So let's talk music, let's talk photography, let's talk design, and any other artistic mediums you've dabbled in.
Cool. Okay. So
from an early age.
Early age, first creative endeavor was music. That was middle school.
Punk pop.
As most
pop punk.
Pop punk. Punk.
You said punk pop?
You said punk
I said
pop.
Punk pop. Sounds like something they sell at Starbucks.
Punk goes pop.
Oh, that's true.
Those albums are sweet.
I'm derailing you.
No.
Please.
I mean, that is part of it. I feel like a lot of early young musicians started in church. That was kind of where I first started playing music and playing in a band context specifically. And my first bandmates in our garage bands were my friends Dan and Trent, who were the guitarist and drummer in our praise band, which is super fun. And we just took that energy and turned it into a rock band for a few years and then a pop punk band for a few years. And then when we realized that we were not going to be allowed to take music as a career by way of our parents gently saying you need actual jobs, we decided just to kind of experiment and do more of like a One Republic, Walk the Moon kind of alternative rock style for our remaining high school years, which is really fun. So dabbled in a lot of different genres throughout all that time. And it's kind of funny looking back on it. One of the things that I always cared about quite a bit was the name and the presentation of the brand. I said brand, I meant the band, but yeah, Freudian slip, very appropriate because that was something that meant a lot to me, even from an early age before I even thought about design or branding or whatever. I just always really cared about not only the music, but the way that the band was perceived on a whole. It was like, I'd say age 11, 12 is when music started until early college years. And that's when it started to kind of fade away a little bit. I played actively for probably like 12 years or so between different bands and, you know, church stuff and volunteer positions and things along those lines.
Guitar,
at my college, guitar and
singing.
Vocals. Yeah, primarily. Yeah. And then like a little bit of keys here and there.
Guitar, but, accordion.
Ooh, a guitar is something I would love to experiment with, actually. That'd be really fun. But yeah, music was, I think, the thing that shaped my creativity and still, I think, actually has given me the voice that I have now, even though music isn't the primary thing that I use to tell stories. I think you, I would say, have a very similar feeling towards music.
Such an incredible artistic foundational medium.
Mm-hmm.
That is so widely applicable to every other artistic medium.
Sincerely, yeah. I mean,
it's math too. It's everything.
Across the board, there's a really cool discipline that comes with being a musician. And I think for filmmakers in particular, mm-hmm. the rhythm and pacing of a story, I mean, music is integral to all of that.
Yeah. It's the same thing.
Yeah, it truly is the same thing. And then even on a, playing in a band, being a part of a team in that sense, being a part of a creative act that is larger than just you as a solo person, I think is a really cool way to develop your creative skills as well. So music really was the foundational piece for me. And it was the primary outlet that I had for a good 10 years of my life. Something I did for a very, very long time and still do as a hobby that I keep to myself now. Around college age is when I started to take photography more seriously. It was the thing that I kind of had some overlap with in music for a little bit.
Because you photographed shows.
I did. Yeah.
What?
Canon 60D.
Nice.
That was my very first DSLR.
Oh, yeah.
Canon 60D.
Terrible name.
Oh, awful. Almost as bad as the Canon 80D.
That was the worst one.
That was the worst. I was like, are y'all serious? You couldn't have just skipped 80?
The Canon ADHD. The Canon 80 4K and the Canon 80 HD. Okay.
I was trying to think of the name of the thing you take when you have ADHD.
Oh,
What is
Adderall?
The Canon Adderall. Their unbranded Adderall. I was like, it was the worst marketing decision ever. But the 60D was the first camera that I bought when I was 18. And it was this cool period of overlapping music and photography because music became less of a thing that I was actively doing because our band, broke up and went to school and everything. But I still had a lot of connection to musicians and other fellow artists in the area. And I had a lot of empathy for musicians because I was just previously on stage doing that exact thing. So I had a good sense of what they would want. And because of that, I felt like I was able to photograph concerts really well because I knew exactly how I would want to look on stage. I was like, okay, I know the angles. I get it. I understand what it's like to be up there. So let's take that and just roll with it. And it was so much fun. Like I miss shooting concerts. It's the coolest light setup and all the smoke and haze. Like, it's visually so stimulating to be in a concert environment and the energy is so cool too. Yeah. So that was a cool period of overlapping and kind of, I think, my first time finding a way to merge two different mediums and find this really happy middle ground between the two of them, being able to enjoy both, which I feel like has become like the story of all of our lives in the last couple of years in particular, is like finding ways to make these two things fit hand in hand. So that's around college age now, 18 to 21, years 2013 to 2017. That's when I was photographing concerts, but then also starting to work for my college. I was starting to photograph events and starting to get into that kind of, I'd kind of say like pre-wedding photography era of understanding how
this
to do.
Where you met Mark Spooner.
Where I met Mark. Yeah, Mark was my first photography mentor. He worked at the school that we both went to. He graduated 3 years before I did. So I was working with him as a student photographer while he was a staff photographer. And I was just kind of learning the ropes and really expanding horizons, using more strobes, using just different types of lenses and skill sets. All of these things merging together to ultimately create a really good package of skills that I could then translate into wedding photography post-graduation.
So was your bachelor's degree less of a learning experience than your experience with photography in college? You were communications?
I was communication arts. So the communications department when I was in school for the very specific set of years that I was there was pretty tumultuous because of a lot of faculty turnover and a lot of stuff happening. It kind of was, yeah. And the blessing in disguise of all that is that it forced me and all of my close friends in the comm department to band together and kind of make our own education in a sense.
Huh.
It was definitely irritating to have as much dysfunction and disorganization from a staff level, because we kind of felt like we were getting the short end of the stick in some ways. But I think that was a catalyst for us to bond to one another more than we would have if things were just totally smooth sailing.
Yeah.
And the biggest way that we did that is through a student-run late-night show that we all contributed towards. It was called Exit 17 Live. That was one of the coolest experiences of my life. It was a hugely formational period for me from my sophomore year to my senior year. And it's exactly what it sounds like. It was a combination of SNL and, you know, the Tonight Show. It had the hosting format of the Tonight Show and the guest component and the live band element. But it had, you know, cold opens like SNL does. It had, you know, sketches on stage. It had all of these live elements and like fake commercials that we would film beforehand and air and all. Like, it was so much fun, and it was so highly collaborative, and I had to just wear a lot of hats during all that as well. And one of those hats actually happened to be design and marketing to a certain degree during the kind of later years in the show, probably the last year and a half that I worked on the show, which was really fun. By the end of it, we had, or at least by the end of my time there in 2016 to 2017, we had about 40 students working on the team, which was crazy. And I was the quote unquote executive producer of the show, just kind of like managing everything with my friend Jacob Padilla. Shout out to Jacob. Mm-hmm. He's one of my closest creative collaborators, and he ran all creative and I ran all the production side and like direction and forward momentum of the show. And it was just an absolute blast. It was so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's really where the design started, like the first inkling of design.
Yeah, it started at the end of
Exit 17. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was, I still vividly remember the school that we went to is, it's called Gordon College also. I've not said the name out
Beverly,
loud.
Mass.
Beverly, Massachusetts, or I guess they're technically in, are they in, we lived in Beverly after graduation, which is a neighboring town. I think they're technically in a town called Wenham.
North of Boston.
North of Boston, yeah. Gordon College, very small Christian liberal arts school, like 1,600, 1,700 students, like very tiny. Yeah. And what was I saying? I completely forgot, actually.
I don't remember.
I don't either. I was saying design started. Yeah. it was senior year.
Yep.
And because the reason I mentioned Gordon is because it's being a liberal arts school, there's like gen ed classes and like humanities core classes and things like that everyone's required to take. And one of those things I had saved till my senior year, and everything else was just kind of my favorite classes that I was waiting to batch together during senior year. And the one kind of humanities core class that I still had to take, I loved it, but that was kind of the incubator for design, because I'd get into class. It was, I think, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 11:25 to 12:25. Pay attention for the first 5 minutes and then slide the laptop open, click Illustrator, and just start to dabble. Yeah. And I have vivid memories of opening Illustrator and what it looked like at that point in time, you know, 7 years ago. And it was so much fun, because it felt like I was kind of double dipping. I was like, all right, I'm fulfilling the core thing, but I'm doing the thing that I really like right now. And
we've all been there as creatives.
You know, it's just like, okay, yeah, I'm definitely paying attention right now. And the lid opens and you're just like, okay, let me, it's that feeling too, of anyone who's had like a 9-to-5 or a job they just don't like, as soon as you get home, you're just lit up with excitement for the thing you actually want to do. So very, very core memories of just dabbling in Illustrator and hacking my way around and just trying to figure stuff out, making some stuff for Exit 17 Live and making some stuff just for fun, for personal use. And that was the first time I really started to actually dive into design on my own.
So fully self-educated, would you watch YouTube tutorials on?
Tons of YouTube stuff. No formal design education. It's just a combination of fumbling around. And then when I'd hit a wall, I'd look up a tutorial, and
how do I get this function to work?
Yep.
What tool do I need?
What does this key mean? What do all of these things actually do together?
How similar or different is Illustrator to Photoshop or Premiere?
Very different. Very different.
There's no overlap. What's the percentage of the middle in the Venn diagram?
Not a lot.
Because what would you say the middle of percentage of the Venn diagram is in a Lightroom Photoshop combo to Premiere? Photo to video. In the Adobe suite.
From personal experience, I mean, Photoshop, Lightroom, tons of crossover, obviously.
Yeah.
I think there is, I mean, I use Photoshop and Illustrator in tandem.
Yeah.
But they are also very distinctly built out for different uses on purpose. Yeah. Even just in the fact that Photoshop's like raster based and Illustrator's vector based, and like the type of art that you're going to be exporting is going to be different based off
of
the
these
two.
Words.
That's the types of files that you can even create in the first place. But then like Photoshop's really good with textures, and Illustrator is really good with shapes and expandability and all these things. And I think I'd say maybe there's like, I don't know, 20 to 30% overlap in the middle there, roughly.
Of which two?
Of Photoshop and Illustrator. Because they're definitely used in tandem, but a lot of the tools are very distinct.
That seems like the one that has more overlap. Because now that I think about it, Lightroom and Premiere have like no overlap.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, I guess, more of like a GarageBand.
Oh, okay.
To Premiere.
Sure, yes.
Like music to video editing is very similar.
Yes. Yeah. And like Audition and Premiere are kind of like their little pairing in Adobe. And then you have, to me at least, like Photoshop and Lightroom are their little pairing. And then I would think kind of Illustrator and InDesign kind of have their little pairing together as well.
Yeah.
Even just UI-wise.
And then Keynote's like the single AF.
Little guy over there on the
Never side. Going Dude, to be loved.
Keynote is so sick though. I
thought you didn't like it.
I do now.
Oh.
Actually, now that I've been making design decks.
Okay,
I don't like making pitch decks still, but I like assembling.
Because you can do all of the function in Illustrator and then just bring your PNG over.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't have to actually design anything in Keynote. Okay. I'm just bringing stuff in and using
it. And that's
it
really what it's meant for.
Yeah. It's a presentation tool. But yeah, no, that's, I think in my opinion, I'm sure other people might disagree, but I think there's probably like a 20 to 30% overlap in familiarity. But then I think it's just because Photoshop and Illustrator are so distinctly built for, I would say, different end results.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you are the unicorn of a person. I don't necessarily think there are that many unicorns like you. Maybe there are. I'm mistaken. But you are the case study of why all of the filmmakers that are like, Adobe sucks, are wrong.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I'm just going to say it.
That might
be contentious. Maybe we need to cut this into an Instagram reel.
Oh, this one will do great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But let's be honest.
Yeah.
There's nothing outside of Photoshop and Lightroom, maybe Capture One, that's really doing it as well as the Adobe suite of stuff.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean we don't dislike Premiere.
Yep. Oh, Adobe deserves a lot of flack that it gets, for sure.
Sure does.
But to your point, there is no other suite of services out there that offer the dynamic linking between programs like Adobe does.
The ecosystem.
The ecosystem is incredible. I mean, it's the same. People use the term walled garden in tech a lot and use that to refer to Apple, especially is that once you get into the garden, it's hard to leave.
Yeah.
You got the AirPods that work with the iPhone that AirDrop to your MacBook and all that stuff is like, oh, I just want to stay in this ecosystem.
They
same thing with Adobe.
Yeah.
You know, it's like once you get into one of them and you're a multifaceted artist, it's like, well, why would I go anywhere else? It was because all these things communicate with each other. It all makes sense. Sure, there's great alternatives to Illustrator and to Photoshop and all these things that exist, but they do not communicate in the same way.
And
to one another.
Wouldn't be the end of the world if you existed in the full Adobe suite and then still used DaVinci for your video editing.
No,
that would make a ton of sense.
Totally.
You don't need the crossover with Premiere to those other things.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, there's great apps too that I want to experiment with more on a design front too, like Procreate and
like that. Great name.
I know. Yeah. It's funny. I remember when I first heard that, I was like, that's a sick name. And then I thought about it more. I was like, oh, y'all kind of went hard with that name. Okay, wow.
Moving on.
Y'all made a choice with that name. It's a very specific name.
So
it's a great name.
When did you officially start designing things again in Chicago?
Tag Procreate in that one.
That's another
reel. That's perfect. Sorry, could you repeat that?
Okay. All right.
Bring it back in.
So we have all the, and I need to start going faster
through
this list of questions.
We got this.
But when did you then pick up, because you stopped, you maybe did some design in the background,
but
after you moved to Chicago, August of 21, when did you like really start picking design back up again? Okay. I guess you were making the Rally Cap stuff before you came here.
Yep.
But was there was kind of a leaving of the design for a while?
Yeah, I think the
did you explore other things?
Yes, no, exactly. I think so. From 2017, it's funny because I did a lot of learning in my senior year of college about Illustrator. I didn't really do much with it though once I graduated.
Yeah.
So I'd say from 2017 until probably 2021 when we started Rally Caps, that was kind of a gap of just like, I'm just all in on my photography business. I'm learning how to build this right now. I'm so focused on weddings, doing a little bit of lifestyle branding photography, but really we're just all in on photo right now. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
Which was very valuable and a very good decision to make. It was when Rally Caps came up though, that it was kind of this sudden moment of, wait, I have all these skills.
I've
got a little bit that I could maybe just,
I have a particular set of skills.
I have a very particular set of skills. I am Liam Neeson. Okay. That was such a legendary quote in that trailer. And it was around that time that, I mean, you know, starting Rally Caps was just a passion thing. And we were like, we didn't have a budget to hire a designer for it. So I was like, let me just figure out something that will be good enough. And hopefully it just works. And it's what we even have to this day.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. And it's super fun. Very proud of that. And that was the first moment for me that I thought, oh, I can actually do this.
Yeah.
That was a really validating moment for me. And so again, it was just for personal stuff, for my own projects, for internal things. And then we moved to Chicago in the summer of 2021. And it was actually at that time that I started to slowly experiment more, just kind of as a back burner fun thing in the studio. I would have Illustrator open more often and I noticed I was kind of gravitating towards it more. And then Gene actually asked me to just throw together a simple logo for his business. My friend Carl Heyerdahl from back east, who's also friends with Mark Spooner, he asked me to brand his stuff. My friend Joe Codrington, also back east, started to just kind of get inquiries a little bit out of nowhere. I think it was all based around Rally Caps.
Yeah.
Just people seeing that as a proof of concept. Yeah. They're like, oh, well, that looks really cool. Could you make something for me too? And we just slowly
started. Funny how that works.
I know. Yeah. It's amazing. Like, whoa, you can do a skill. It's cool. Do it for me. And that was like this trickle effect. And one by one, the pieces kind of fell into place. And I think a pretty big inflection point as of late, to kind of bring it to relatively present day, were both members of the studio and then the documentary to a certain degree. And finally, this past December, just 5 months ago, finally branding Creative Club as well. Those were all pretty pivotal moments that all happened within the last year, that one by one, as I just kept getting more confident in my skill set on a technical level and my eye on an artistic level, I felt like I was able to kind of bring those two together and slowly roll it into a service that I could finally offer to people. And the Creative Club one, I think, was the breaking point for me. I was like, okay,
seemed like it.
Yep, the dams are going to open now and we're going to actually do this.
Yeah. And that got a lot of attention. Like, people saw that and were like, this is good. You did the carousel of stuff. And it was like, whoa.
It was really fun.
Really good. So, great transition then. Is your Instagram becoming a hybrid of film photography and design work?
Yeah. Yep. I'm still trying to figure out what the balance is there.
Yeah.
It's weird.
And then how much do numbers skew you in that?
Like engagement on Instagram? Yeah.
Because, so if we look at it analytically, less traffic on the design stuff analytically, so much more work.
Yeah. Yes.
So it's like numbers don't matter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
like the film photos blow up.
Yeah.
Go crazy. Some just go absolutely psycho.
Yep.
But it feels like you're really niching into a specific set of people with the design stuff where it's not like getting put on the For You page or whatever.
Right.
The search page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny because I kind of hope that I am hitting the design side of Instagram at a good time, because I didn't realize how popular it is on Instagram.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild how big an audience a designer can build on there.
Yeah.
I've been shocked by it, to be honest. Like, because my algorithm has been kind of readjusting as I've been diving into more pages and all that. And that's what makes me wonder
if it will like catch up analytically almost. Yeah.
I don't know. Because
Instagram's recognizing your account as a photography account.
Right.
And then you're posting all this design work and right. It's like, what?
I know. That is one kind of like dissonance that I don't love right now. Cause I even feel like, okay, well, who am
I? Do you separate it?
Right.
Or do you keep it?
And the issue, I've decided I don't want to separate it only because the biggest audience that I have is all on my personal page. And I think the one note of encouragement that I've kind of gathered so far is that people of all disciplines have been loving the design work, which is very cool, very flattering. But people from all different walks of life, all over the country, all different backgrounds as either musicians or photographers or filmmakers or YouTubers or whatever their title might be, it seems to be resonating with a large audience. Yeah. Or at least large in the sense that it is the people that I care to share it with. And I respect their opinions. Even just like 2 weeks ago or something, Jesse Driftwood commented on one of my posts. He was like, you're so good at this. You have such a great eye for this. I was like, that means so much to hear that from you, because I respect you so much and your discipline and the work that you create. And to see that and to be able to connect with friends of ours on a different level is really exciting. And I want to be able to carry that further. And I think the question now is, how do I just make photography and design work hand in hand together? Yeah. Is that incorporating my photo work into designs?
Yeah.
Or vice versa, or trying to just format things in a more interesting way, or I don't know. It's all very experimental right now. I'm just going to keep, swapping between carousels of design stuff and then carousels of film images and maybe just have them live in tandem right now. It seems to be the best solution so far, but it's been very cool to see people interact with the design work in the way that they have. I have been using stories as an outlet for design as well. Maybe not making a full-on post about stuff, but I've been doing like this. People loving this too, which I'm so happy about, is making the whole set of maybe 5 different designs as a spec thing for someone. And then in between each of the designs, putting little arrows and little editor's note, handwritten style.
More
design on the design, explaining why I did certain things. And people have been really engaged with that. Showing you like it's kind of what Kyler does. Like it's him breaking down how he edits a photo. I'm breaking down how I make a design. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So like crazy, crazy engaging. It's so fun to look at. Yeah. So fun to meticulously kind of pick apart. Just see that side of your brain. I think what's so cool about what's happening with this new discipline is that you built a very substantial, large audience on the platform through film photography. Mm-hmm. And then you're coming in with this left hook of like, here's this completely different medium that actually all of you would benefit from. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how good of an example is that to diversify your artistic skill set?
Yeah.
Because if you build an audience in one medium, it kind of becomes this like celebratory, like, hey, we're all just doing the same thing. Good job. They're not clients, but then all of a sudden you pivot into this other thing and they're all being like, I need that. Mm-hmm. And that's where it's incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
And I think people sleep on that. People are scared to incorporate something new because they're so worried about numbers.
Yeah. Yeah.
That they're like, oh, well, but that won't perform. Right. Like, the likes don't pay your bills.
Right.
So at the end of the day, what do you care about then?
Right.
Like if that's just your passion and you want to get a bunch of traffic on social media, go for it. But if you're like trying to build a business and a creative business at that, how do you leverage an audience that you love and they love you to offer them something that can really impact them and give them something to like electrify their own business.
100%.
That's what's really exciting, and we'll get to at the end. Mm-hmm. But I said, could you give some insight on how many new clients you've attracted since opening business recently?
Yes. So I think I formally made the announcement that I was open for design work the first week of March, I think. So 2 months ago?
2 months.
I believe.
That sounds right.
I think it's about right, yeah. And since... since then, I think I've gotten about, I want to say probably 30 to 35 inquiries. I've already delivered 12.
That's one every other day.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, that's true.
Yeah.
On average, yeah, yeah, that's true. Some are, you know, just warm leads. Some people that are just kind of like, hey, I just want to get a sense of pricing and all that. Not all of them are ready to book on the spot, but they're just kind of in my honey book right now, chilling, mm-hmm. just waiting to follow up with them. Already delivered 12 projects that have been completed start to finish since then, and that was all within the first like 5 weeks or so. And I've got another 12 to 15 that are in the pipeline right now.
Yeah.
I think I've got 12 post-its on my desk right now, but I know there's other people that are doing more than one project with me. So factoring that in, I think it's about 12 to 15. Yeah. It's a lot.
Good job.
Thanks.
Great job. Great answer.
Yeah. It's been a lot. Yeah. It's very good.
Okay. So let's roll it back a little bit. How long did it take to feel like a professional in this space? How many projects? Or what was the tipping point? I'm open for business now.
Yeah. The tipping point was the Creative Club project, okay, for sure. Yeah. I think that was the moment where I realized that I could do it for someone else, like a stranger, not just someone in the studio, but I'm like, this is a good set of five distinct icons that all work together. It's got a cohesive color palette. It resonates with our studio mm-hmm. as well. Seeing the emotional response, I think, from everybody in the studio was another affirmation of like, I've got this kind of thing. Of like, oh, you took what we are as a collective group of people and turned it into graphics.
Yeah.
And we all see that and we see ourselves represented in that. That's the most important part of design to me. It's like the empathy that goes into it is making people feel seen through this artwork.
Yeah.
So that was the tipping point on that level. Full transparency, I still feel imposter syndrome as a designer currently. It still feels weird to say that I am. Mm-hmm. I don't feel totally comfortable leaning into that title by any means because I'm literally learning something new every single day when it comes to like the technical side of stuff. So I...
But you have like experienced designers like A-Rod down in Texas looking at you and being like, dude, you're making some really cool stuff.
Hey, wait, real quick. Shout out to A-Rod. I wore this shirt today because of him.
Yeah.
Because I told him we've been talking a lot and he recently left BPN to go pursue his own venture as a designer. He is a stupendous designer. I mean, just absolutely phenomenally talented person. He's been a huge encouragement to me and a huge inspiration for me too. And a big reason as to why I even felt comfortable doing it in the first place. It really is. And then he sent me a really lovely message when he was like, you've been an inspiration to me and vice versa. It was like a voice memo. And I was like, what the heck is going on right now? This is crazy.
Literally inspiring him
to do
take
the
his
same,
next step.
Well, I was like, I didn't even realize he was full time at BPN at first. I was like, oh, he does work for them, but he must be for how talented he is. Like just doing his own thing. He's like, no, it's a little scary, but I'm going to strike out on my own. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're going to crush as a freelance designer. You're so good at what you do. And he's so genuine and so sweet. And he's just been such a huge blessing to me and to you on the BPN side, I'm sure as well. He's just a lovely guy. So shout out to A-Rod, which I also great name.
Yeah.
Not the baseball A-Rod, but different A-Rod. Also Alex Rodriguez. But
he was like the person that initiated basically my connection to BPN through the Chicago Marathon Expo.
Oh.
He's the one that handed me G1M Sport and Go Gels.
Okay.
And I was just like, just try them out.
Interesting. Okay. Wow.
So yeah, really special place in my heart as well. Love that guy.
He's a great guy.
I'm going to screen record real quick. So I just hit the screen record. So you know, Chad. just to show the Creative Club design right here.
Oh, yeah,
because
yeah.
Because I am on your Squarespace. Well, I don't have good internet, so.
That's okay.
Well, we'll just show the C's right there.
We'll throw up some graphics later, too, if we need to.
Okay.
But the Creative Club stuff is a big one. That's also the one that's most commonly referenced in consultations. When I say, if there's one piece of mine that you could select is like, your favorite, or there's another logo that you like that you would like your work modeled after, just let me know. Mm-hmm. And without fail, Creative Club is mentioned basically every other time.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It was really fun to be able to project it on the wall and paint it on the wall.
Which is, I mean, we can show that little time lapse right now.
Yeah,
too.
That's cool.
Yeah. To walk into the studio and see that on the wall every day is the coolest thing ever.
Yep.
Yeah. That's the part of, I think, art. Broadly speaking, is my favorite thing, but especially with design, is seeing things that go from a screen to a tangible thing.
Yeah, which you've mentioned that multiple times, especially with like the doc tickets and the posters, which you brought.
I did get right here. I had a feeling they might come up. But,
so having like a physical thing that you design manifest and be able to hold it is something really special to you.
It is.
And it should be.
Yeah.
Because you're literally like creating things and making it to be and like, not just living on a scrolling device.
Right. And wait, case in point with the hoodie behind you as well, for Get Bored and Make Stuff as well. You know, taking that 2D backlit thing into a piece that you can wear or a ticket that you can hand out to a fan is the most, or a logo that you see on a wall when you walk into your studio space. It's the most beautiful thing to see that happen. And it's seeing other people's reactions to it is the best. Seeing all the photos that people have posted of the tickets at the premieres, just like that, it previously didn't exist. Like there wasn't anything that was there before. And now it is.
In a physical analog component too, of like stamping it.
The stamp.
Like those touches or if it's signed or, you know.
Yep. There's all these things that I think in an age of screens and screen time and all of these things that are just so digital and backlit and exhausting. It's just really, really life-giving to feel analog things and to stop looking at it in Illustrator and to look at it here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm done looking at it as a file, and now it's just something that I can hold and bend and flex and see ink smear when Gene is stamping it and there's a little bit of ink left on his pinky and it gets smeared on the corner a little. It's like each one's unique because of that. And that's a really special thing that I think I hope I'd like to see more of that.
Well, this is also something that's really interesting with what you could offer as well, because people might start inquiring for things like this for physical products.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like, hey, can you design this and help us with the logistical side? Like, where did you get those tickets? I want to do that for my premiere. We want to print it on this kind of t-shirt. What would you recommend for printing? Which is really cool. And you're getting all your reps in with all of the creative things we're doing. And up here is starting to become this eclectic space of physical things as well with our collage on the wall and the set. And it feels like when you come up here, it's a living, breathing space because it's all these relics that we hold close to us. And then we're framing things and putting them above our desk. Well, you are. I still need to do all mine. But
me and Gina are the only two who have actually put stuff like up on the walls.
And the room feels so different with that stuff there. And you're using it as inspiration. And it is like you walk in, you're like, oh, that sand grain poster of the bear and like these design elements and Gene's little hand-drawn Porsche thing. So fun. So pivoting into, we talked about your Instagram and that change. What's the YouTube channel look like then?
That is a very good question that I don't totally have an answer to. I think we talked about it in last week's episode briefly at the end. You asked Gene and I about YouTube. I honestly don't know.
It's okay to have just a brief answer on that. Like, yeah. You don't need to dissect it.
Yeah. No, I truly just don't know. I would love to make videos still.
Yeah.
But I am prioritizing client facing services.
Makes a lot of sense
right now. Yeah. I would, if anything, focus more on stuff that I just find personal fulfillment in and kind of just forget any target audience and just have fun with it.
Yeah. And you said in that other episode, like that could be what you need.
Yeah. You know, I think I want to look at YouTube as just not a part of business anymore. And it's just it's a place to experiment and have fun. Maybe I'll talk about film cameras. Maybe I'll talk about a design thing like this ticket. Maybe I'll talk about little notebooks that I'm using for my design clients and why analog matters so much to me. Maybe I'll talk about little thought experiments and Matt D'Avella style kind of videos where it's little experiments and things like that. I don't really know, but whatever comes next, it will be purely because I want to.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. So the diversification, I'm just reading and not thinking. Hold on. Why is this diversification of your skill set different than anything you've picked up over the last 8 years?
Because this one actually makes money.
That's a fantastic answer.
No, I mean, there is some truth to that. I say that tongue in cheek, but
does it feel like it's been such a winding road? Because your wedding photography definitely made money.
Oh yeah. No, yeah. I was doing very well with wedding photography. Yeah. And, I, Yeah, you did say 8 years. That's true. That goes back quite a long time. I would say...
feels like it's been a long, curvy road of exploration.
Yeah.
And it really feels like when you were... what was that text interaction we had? Like, you were posting these stories,
uh-huh.
and I texted you a photo of myself, and I'm like, I'm crying right now.
Oh, Preston. It was when yeah. I posted the set of Preston's yeah. Spec branding. Yeah, that's right.
I'm looking at the
yeah.
stories, and I'm like, you found it. This
yeah.
is your thing.
Yeah.
Like, this is
yeah.
this is it.
It feels like it in a lot of ways. I even though I haven't been actively working as a designer for long, I've been a fan of design forever.
Yeah.
Even going back to what I said earlier about my bands and everything, I've always cared about the way things are presented, which I think could even be stemmed back further to the fact that my dad has been the CEO of his own marketing agency mm-hmm. for 40 plus years. It's kind of in my blood, I think, in a sense. And even when I didn't think of making logos and visual identities on my own, I always appreciated when a cool company did have that.
Mm-hmm.
I would be a lot more attracted to it.
Yeah.
I would analyze why I was interested in it. And I've just, I think, taken notes and been such a, I think fan is a really good word, honestly. Yeah. I've just been such a vocal supporter and admirer of well-designed things, whether that's on a purely visual level or a functional level as well, the way products are designed too. I've just always been really tapped into that. And I think because of that, I had a natural passion for it to build a good technical foundation on top of, and then combine the things to ultimately execute that for other people.
Yeah. And that's a great segue into this quote that you have on your website. It says, I've loved design for a long time. Graphic design, interior design, fashion design. Shapes, colors, and typefaces of all kinds fascinate me. Visual identities are a core part of every strong brand, and it's exhilarating to be invited into someone else's business in order to create that.
Mm.
Now, yeah, this question, part and parcel, is a functional one
okay.
and a very philosophical one.
Okay.
How do you onboard a client, and like, what does that do for you emotionally? Like, how much does that gas you up?
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot. A lot, a lot. I think I've been very lucky so far to have incredible clients reach out. The onboarding calls, the process quite literally is inquiry email. I'll respond with a pricing deck and usually a prompt to just get on the phone, because I'm mostly interested in just actually meeting them and seeing what they have to say and what they're interested in. And then it's usually that initial Zoom call, talking through everything, that really, I would say, like, for the most part, so far, I was going to say makes or breaks, but really just makes
yeah.
that thing special. Because I get to see where they're at and their enthusiasm. I get to give my enthusiasm back.
Yeah.
And I think I've gained a lot of confidence through the calls, because I've realized just how much time and effort I've put into this because of the difference in language that I speak compared to where they're coming from. Most people have been coming in as like, I'm sorry if I'm saying the wrong things. I'm like, that's fine. You're not supposed to say the right things.
Right.
That's why you're coming to me.
Right.
You know, like, I feel so lucky to be able to walk through this with you. It's the same thing with wedding photography.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, of course you're not going to shoot your own wedding. You're coming to another professional who mm-hmm. knows what to do for mm-hmm. that thing. And when we reach out to other creatives and want to hire them and bring them on board, they have a skill set that they can offer, and more importantly, a personality that they can bring into that thing.
Yeah.
And so being able to be that personality and be that professional for other people is the coolest privilege on earth. Like, it's so fun to be able to get into the weeds with clients and to talk through these things and to see their face light up and to show them things that they resonate with and to also show them things that they do not click with, because both times they're learning something about themselves.
Yeah.
They might say
it's therapeutic.
Yeah. They're like, oh, I don't speak design at all. And then I show them something. They're like, oh, well, actually I would tweak this, that, and the other thing. And I would I would mold like, it a little bit.
Gotcha.
And I'm like, look, you do know what you like. Yeah. You just don't know it yet. And to be the person to come alongside them and help shape that is the coolest thing ever.
Especially because you're dealing with a lot of artists.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, wow. You're almost inspiring them. Like, they might be like, oh, maybe I can take a crack at some of this stuff.
Yes.
But you're like, no, hire me again.
Yeah. No, stop it. You can kind of speak the language. You can't do the thing though. If you need me still.
Yeah. I think one of the coolest things you said recently was, yeah, the whole empathetic part and, mm-hmm. and how when you deliver a final product, mm-hmm. the response being, this represents exactly who I am. Mm-hmm. That's really profound. Mm-hmm. To have something, not just a photograph of yourself, because mm-hmm. we're used to that, and mm-hmm. that's really special in its own right, mm-hmm. or a photograph with someone or a moment with them, amazing. Mm-hmm. But to have something representative of who they are, it's storming outside now.
Storming quite a bit.
I guess I'm not going to run now.
No. Okay, well. Is that hail?
Didn't know that was going
to
happen.
Is it hailing right now?
Might be. Might just have to listen to the sounds of raindrops.
It is?
Okay, well.
Is that hail, Chad? Yeah. Whoa.
Hail. Nice.
That's cool.
Awesome.
I hope our AC unit makes it through. Wait, it's May.
Yeah, it's fine. I just don't want to think about it.
How cold is it, Rick? It's 79 degrees outside. Does
hail still happens in the warm.
That's cool.
I think it mostly happens when it's warm.
It's not cool, actually. That's terrifying.
This is like tornado weather.
I don't know if anyone could hear that. It was shuddering, the unit in the window.
Well, it's because it's so hot right now when hot and
true.
Cold.
It does say severe like thunderstorm this. Warning.
Oh, okay, cool.
I love seeing severe in the weather app. That's so cool.
A few more things.
Yeah.
We're just going to power through.
Yeah. That.
StephenSchultz.co.
That is, yes.
This
that
is your website.
That's my personal
How
website.
How the frick did you design this masterpiece of a website?
You.
What makes it so special? Can you tell us the story of some of these logos and how you're famous because of the people you've worked with now?
LOL. That's generous on the last part. The first part is Squarespace. All thanks to them. Squarespace.
And you could get 10% off.
You can get 10% off your Get Bored and Make Stuff order. thank you for one. I've built so many Squarespace websites over the years. I feel like any chronic website build, anyone, I feel like a lot of people resonate with this. The people that are never happy with their website and they always want to tweak it just a little bit more. I think I've literally been a Squarespace customer for 10 years now because I bought my first domain and website through them when I was 18. I still vividly remember building that very first website after hours, after a sales job that I did not like. So much fun. And honestly, maybe that's kind of part of the design thing too, of always being interested in trying different styles and experimenting with different flavors. But I've always just tweaked and tweaked and experimented and tried different designs and things. And I've never really done it from the perspective of analytics and what performs best and what engages with people best, but more so as an extension of myself and what feels most right with me.
Yeah.
And so I've gone through so many iterations from so many different types of services that I'm trying to sell or images that I'm trying to share. And this one, I really wanted to be, frankly, design forward, I would say. Like, that's the first thing that I want people to recognize, even though it is kind of a personal catch-all in a lot of ways. When you go on to the website, which I think you might be seeing right now, the first thing that you see is four words. And I think those four words, if I can remember correctly, is motion, stills, design, and editorial. And those are really the main things that I do kind of just all in one easy to navigate package on the landing page of my website. Editorial is the work that I do with Moment and right there.
So cool that it just links out to Moment's site and your profile on Moment's site.
Yeah. I wanted to be like, basically my thought going into it was, you know, if people want to know what I'm attached to and what I do, this is where you could find all of that.
Everything.
So even in the footer of the page too, I kind of emphasize those four things because that's what I do on a service level for myself and to other people. But then in the footer as well, I also have linked, I believe Get Bored and Make Stuff is down there. Rally Caps is linked down there. And I think I have something else as well. Just to, again, just get everything that I have been a part of or am currently working on is all captured within that website. The design page is obviously my personal favorite, but I also really like the kind of very simple photo section as well, where I can just easily enjoy sharing my film images with people. I'm not necessarily trying to sell people and hiring me as a photographer, but I'm just sharing my favorite stuff. And when you go to my contact form and you want to hire me as a photographer, you can. You can make that designation if you like. Mm-hmm. But I think the main thrust of the page is to, one, act as a catch-all, and two, really be the design hub for everything.
Yeah, I mean, as I'm building my own website, it's given me a lot of inspiration for simplicity and straightforwardness, to be really clear.
Yep.
And I'm sorry, I'm totally copying you, but like I'm literally doing four things as well.
Yep.
And mine's photo, filmmaking, education, and running.
Yep.
And it's a, I'm I don't know about the running one, yeah. but like, but it is all the things I do now.
Yes.
And same deal with it, like linking out to different things. Mm-hmm. Or if you go into one, there's two options from there.
Yep.
It's just like pick your own adventure
yes.
and a contact tab. And that's yep. really, it feels like it's all it needs to be. Because yeah. what I'm so drawn to in your design section is that it's like, let the work speak for itself.
Yeah.
Like it's one small paragraph of the line I just read.
Yep.
And then below you can find a selection of my work where applicable, click on an image, see more designs.
Yep.
But like, it's just a series of a mm-hmm. dozen images and your favorite ones yep. that you've done. And it speaks volumes
yeah.
because the work is just, proof is in the pudding yep. right there.
That's something I've learned over 10 years of building different sites too, is I'm tired of making it complicated.
Yep.
And honestly, I'm also kind of tired of making it overtly story-based, if that makes sense. I feel like often it's easy to ramble on websites and to give the heartfelt introduction as to who you are as a person yeah. and all this stuff. It's like, honestly, no one's scrolling down below the homepage.
Right.
If the homepage isn't engaging, no one's going to scroll down below it.
Right.
And so that's why you can't even scroll on right. my homepage. There is no scroll option. You yep. just get to there and then you have four links.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Click one, enjoy. You know?
Good design is simple design.
Yes.
Don't make it confusing.
Yep. Yep. I mean, that's, I think, probably the underrated skill of a designer is yeah. not how much can I cram into this thing. It's how do I simply and effectively communicate what I need to? And how do I do that in a beautiful way?
Mm-hmm.
That's all you really need.
It doesn't need to be crazy fancy.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to have a bunch of cursive fonts
mm-mm.
and
nope.
peripheral things.
Mm-mm.
It reminds me a lot of Donald Miller and his whole yeah. story brand thing.
Yep.
Which is like, be clear.
Yes.
Be clear yep. with your messaging. Like, don't be confusing.
Yep.
Like, so many enormous brands mm. confuse their marketing by just because they think that's what you need to do.
Yeah. Yep.
And they're not straightforward with the communication.
Yep.
Speaking to the problem of their potential client.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing just that.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, here's the simplicity. Mm. You need a logo. You need a brand suite. I have the solution.
Here it is. It's one click and then another click.
Boom, boom, boom.
That's it. Let's work.
Inquire.
Yeah, let's hang out.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
And clearly it's working.
It has been working so far. Yeah. And I think to even reference back to the way that I've been sharing it on Instagram too, I think the stories in particular have been really helpful and stacking everything and explaining the thought process and showing how intentional I am in the design process. And then just adding a quick little slide at the end saying, hey, if you like this, I do this. Just hang out.
Right.
Send an email. Let's talk.
That's where I think there's so much power with you bringing it to YouTube if you want to.
Yeah.
Where I think that is the long form version of that.
Yeah.
Where yep. you will find that audience mm-hmm. or find the audience you already have.
Yeah.
To yep. look at that work, and they might not be following you on Instagram or mm-hmm. the algorithm's not feeding them your stories.
Yeah.
And so what's so insanely powerful now is you've built the infrastructure of a killer website mm-hmm. to clearly communicate this is what I offer.
Mm.
And so even inside of an episode like this, people are going to be going to your website yes. and inquiring for your design skills.
That's true.
Yeah. You're going to get 10 inquiries from this episode.
Yeah. I hadn't even thought about that.
Because not everybody listening is following that closely on Instagram.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty and the power of having all this stuff built and then going to the market and mm-hmm. being like, this is it. This
yeah.
is what I have.
Yeah.
Instead of, this is what I plan on doing eventually. This is the skill set I'm building right now. Mm-hmm. That is the power. Like, that's messy action.
Yeah.
That's what I'm guilty of so often.
Yeah,
it can
yeah.
be successful, but yeah. the process is kind of daunting. But yeah. when you have it all mapped out,
mm-hmm.
the power of that is pretty wild.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Ah, that's really interesting.
Yeah. yeah. And I've really been struck by this concept recently in business, is that like this, the preparedness, the intentionality, the building of infrastructure before an announcement is
yeah.
insanely, insanely powerful. And we saw that in the
yeah.
classroom. Like,
oh,
it was just like months of building to then have yeah. this crazy launch, you know.
Huge response. And it was even recently with yeah. the doc too, with
yeah.
the premieres there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just so ready to go. And then seeing people flood the ticket sites and everything.
Yeah.
It's like so excited to see the reactions, people showing up, so pumped. It's really cool to see how being prepared can lead to just a really, I'd say, like, relaxed outcome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. yeah, you're completely ready mm-hmm. for what it is. Mm-hmm. It does quiet that voice of imposter syndrome mm-hmm. quite a bit yep. because it's like, well, no, I've prepared for
yeah.
this.
No, that's the best feeling when people come at you with questions or whatever. You're like, I know exactly what, hey, I'll link you to a video exactly. or a little deck that I've made that answers exactly that. You're yes. taken care of. Don't worry.
And they're like, oh my goodness. Wow.
That's so cool. That's beautiful. Thank you so much. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, of course. Yeah.
And that really reinforces the professionalism that they're coming to you for.
Yeah. I feel like there's something even like very full circle about you mentioning, you know, the integration of YouTube and design also, to again reference back to earlier in the episode talking about holding two creative acts hand in hand. Mm-hmm. For me, it was concert photography and being a musician at one point. Now it could be primarily focusing on design, but understanding how to make a good image in a video and just using that to beautifully elevate the design work itself and kind of marrying those two things together.
Yeah. Because when you break down numbers, when it comes to something like YouTube, mm-hmm. when you have a skill that's so niche and that people need, mm-hmm. you don't need millions of followers.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Get the clients.
Dude. Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Like
the clients don't care about that.
No.
And unless you're doing like influencer deals, they do not care about your follower count at all.
And that's not what you're going after.
No.
But you now have this base of thousands of people mm-hmm. that are subscribed to this channel mm-hmm. where, again, similar to Instagram, you mm-hmm. could pull this left hook where it's like, hey, look.
I also do this thing.
Check it out.
Yeah.
I can solve these problems for you.
Yep.
Here's my track record. Here's the portfolio. Here's the website. Mm-hmm. And you have all this skill set in filmmaking now and documentary filmmaking mm-hmm. and video essays to really make a compelling case for a wider audience. And then I wouldn't be surprised if those videos like actually blow up.
It could be cool. I think that's a good perspective to have though, I think, because it's so easy for the numbers to be the thing that we chase as artists. Like that engagement is just dopamine central, you know, it's so tough to get off of that, but it is truly so true that number does not equate to what you're able to do as a business person or as an artist mm-hmm. or like the value or your worth by any means. Yep. So many people that I know who have, you know, what I would say comparatively people would consider like quote unquote no following on Instagram, killing it, great career, thriving as an artist, has nothing to do with their follower count at mm-hmm. all. And then similarly, people with tons of followers, huge accounts, massive things are like, yeah, I'm just trying to get by right now.
Right.
You know, there's more often than not, there is no positive correlation from follower account to income or business success by any means. So I'm curious to see where design goes from here for sure.
That's the last question I have. What's the future?
Okay. What's the future? I mean, I've been telling, Gene has been asking me this quite a bit because he is such a staunch advocate for this as well. Mm. For the design work in particular, but I think ideally if I could get to like a 50-50 split with my income between photography and design, I'd be so happy. Mm-hmm. If a year from now or maybe 2 years from now, it becomes primarily design and photography is 20%, I would also be very happy with that because I could see this branching out in so many ways. I mean, there's truly an infinite amount of possibilities that come from having this design skill set. It's client facing and one-on-one projects for sure, but it's also, you know, prints, it's art, it's designing tattoos for people. It's designing social banners specifically. It's designing tangible goods as well. It's like being able to consult on a product basis and being able to, you know, help with fabric materials and all these different like paper stocks. And it could be a one-stop consulting shop for other people who need not only like a startup for their business, like a quick hit, but also like, hey, it's going to be headshots as well. It's going to be business cards. It's going to be all designed around your liking mm-hmm. from top to bottom. Every visual thing that people are going to see for your business or company can be made by one person, all in-house, all cohesive. Everything you get is going to be everything you need to start. Mm. And I think there's something really cool about that. And that is a way of incorporating photography into it at the end of the day. Mm. It's like being able to add that extra little thing on top of like, it's the full visual identity. And also we'll even get your photos to match that somehow too. Yeah. It's going to have the same vibe. It's going to have the same feeling as what your branding is going to communicate. I think that's something that's really compelling. That's really cool to be able to offer that.
To go to a designer that has the history that you have mm-hmm. in all the different artistic mediums you have is It's like impossible to say no to that if they love your portfolio.
Yeah.
How could they? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
have you had a single inquiry that's like, oh, we're not a good fit?
No, not yet. No. Which is great. And also I'm drowning, but it's great. Great. It's so hard to say no.
Drowning problem.
It's just become more of a, okay, the initial rough drafts are just going to take longer to get back to you kind of thing. And people are fine. Like most people are not in a rush at all,
right,
which is also lovely. But now it's more of like from, instead of, oh, I'll have something to you next week. It'll be like, all right, so like rough drafts 2 weeks from now kind of thing. And no one's had any problems with that.
Oh, that's still a crazy fast turnaround.
It does feel like it for roughs, but I think that will probably extend into like 2 to 3 weeks. If the pace keeps at what it's at so far.
Raise the prices.
Yeah, I've already done it once on a small level, but I think that will be happening again soon, just for my own sanity.
Take the Levi Tirina advice.
Oh my gosh.
Solves your problems by raising your prices.
Well, his advice specifically was double your prices, wasn't it? Yeah. Whew.
That's horrifying, but it's just like,
yeah,
solves your problems.
Yeah. I do think I will say by the end of 2024, I do think I will definitely be double what I'm currently at.
So
I would say that.
Get in the door now, folks.
Yeah. just for the, honestly, even for a good experience for each client too, because
yeah,
I have the bandwidth for this right now, but there's a certain pace that I just don't want to keep up at this level. I was very actually intentional about pricing low to get volume high,
yes,
at the beginning, because I wanted to just prove the concept.
That's so smart.
And show everyone, like, oh, you're looking at this specific package. I've got 5 examples of this specific tier. You want this one? I've got another 10 at this specific tier.
Yeah.
Just to show everyone that this
proof is of concept in every direction.
Yeah, every way.
And yep, it's the advice I give in photography where it's like, work for free if you have to build a portfolio. Mm-hmm. But if you can do what you're doing, mm-hmm, and it's like work and get paid and have the same volume of proof of concept, do it.
It's huge.
Like, yeah, drown for a little bit knowing that it's going to be just this short window of time that you're investing for the long haul.
Yes.
Like you're investing for when you can raise those prices and justify it, because look at this mountain of work you're sitting on and what you can do for a multitude of different people.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's a very exciting future to look at right now.
I could talk to you forever about this. I'm unbelievably excited for you.
Thank you.
This is... Yeah, if it just feels like this is the culmination of so much of what you've been working for.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Please. That's enough. Thank you. That's so kind of
that's
you.
That's all
thank
the
you.
Hail damage that everyone's experiencing right now.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our cars are outside.
Someone just got hit in the head with a softball-sized piece of hail.
That grapefruit, man, just conked
that guy out. What a great timing when I'm trying to
be
proud of you. But genuinely, you should be so proud of the work that you're putting out.
Thank you.
All of it is completely deserved. All of the success is completely deserved. It's so much fun to watch.
Thank you.
And I'm really excited to see you keep crushing that.
Thanks, man.
And yeah, into this next year, it's going to be really fun to see all the people and brands you get to work with and how it expands.
Yeah. I'm certainly looking forward to that future. It feels bright right now for sure. And I am, at the end of the day, just grateful that the response was what it was, because I had no expectations going into it, and I've been blown away. So thank you to all of you who have chosen to hire me or just express interest or share any kind of encouragement, just seeing things from afar. It's truly meant the world to me, and I am more excited than ever for what's to come. Yeah.
Amazing. If you like this conversation, you're on YouTube, give it a like. If you are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, any other streaming service, rate it in the way you know how, because you know that platform. You listen to podcasts.
It's 5 stars, just to be clear.
Give it 10 stars. And we love you so much, and we will see you soon.
See you soon.